Great Hearts, Northern Oaks, 9th grade biology. Readings for Wednesday, April 8th. Chapter 14, pages 287 through 290. The first life forms. Scientists continue to investigate many competing hypotheses about possible transitions from simple organic molecules to cellular life. A critical part of each such hypothesis is to explain how molecules could be organized into self-replicating systems. In other words, to explain the origin of heredity. The Origin of Heredity. Chapter 10 provides a detailed explanation of how hereditary information affects the phenotype of cells. Recall that the hereditary information contained in a DNA molecule is first transcribed into an RNA message, and then the RNA message is translated into a protein, as shown in figure 14-8. Thus, DNA serves as the template for RNA, which in turn serves as the template for specific proteins. In recent years, scientists have taken a closer look at the DNA-RNA protein sequence. Why is RNA necessary for this process? Why doesn't DNA, which is a template itself, carry out protein synthesis directly? The clues to a more complete understanding of RNA function may be found in its structure. RNA molecules take on a greater variety of shapes than DNA molecules do. An example is the unique shape of transfer RNA shown in figure 14-8. These shapes are dictated by hydrogen bonds between particular nucleotides in an RNA molecule, much as the shapes of proteins depend on hydrogen bonds between particular amino acids. These questions and observations led to the speculation that some RNA molecules might actually behave like proteins and catalyze chemical reactions. Page 288. The roles of RNA. In the early 1980s, researcher Thomas Cech, born 1947, found that a type of RNA found in some unicellular eukaryotes is able to act as a chemical catalyst, similar to the way an enzyme acts. Cech used the term ribozyme for an RNA molecule that can act as a catalyst and promote a specific chemical reaction. Later studies based on Cech's discovery indicated that ribozymes could act as catalysts for their own replication. In fact, self-replicating systems of RNA molecules have been created in the laboratory. These findings support the hypothesis that life could have started with self-replicating molecules of RNA. Furthermore, other roles for RNA have been discovered. RNA plays a vital role in DNA replication, protein synthesis, and other basic biochemistry. Perhaps most or all of the chemistry and genetics of early cells were based on RNA. This model of the beginnings of life on Earth is sometimes called the RNA world. Self-replicating RNA molecules might have been not only the first case of heredity, but also the first case of competition. For an RNA molecule, self-replication might involve competing with other RNA molecules for a limited number of available nucleotides. A particular RNA molecule with a slightly different structure than other RNA molecules might be more successful in getting nucleotides from its environment and thus more likely to be replicated. Thus, over time, the more efficient RNA molecules would survive and the world of RNA would slowly change. There are several competing hypotheses about how RNA or other simple replicating systems could have evolved into modern cellular life. Some hypotheses propose that certain kinds of minerals formed a template on which organic molecules could line up and form polymers. Another hypothesis is that self-replicating RNA started to evolve inside cell-like structures, such as microspheres or coacervates. The self-replicating RNA could have provided the hereditary information that the cell-like structures lack. If the RNA molecules were able to direct the assembly of the structures that carried them, a cell-like system would be formed. The first cells. Although lacking direct evidence of the first cells, scientists can make some inferences. First, many scientists think that little or no oxygen gas existed on early Earth. Second, the oldest fossils that are thought to be cells are the size and shape of some living prokaryotes. Finally, the first cells might have developed in an environment filled with organic molecules for food. Thus, the first cells were probably anaerobic, heterotrophic prokaryotes. Page 289. We can reason that a growing population of heterotrophs that depended on spontaneously formed organic molecules for food eventually would have removed most of these molecules from the environment. At this point, autotrophs would have begun to have an advantage. The first autotrophs, however, probably did not depend on photosynthesis the way that most autotrophs do today. Chemosynthesis. If we look for living organisms that may be similar to these early organisms, we find the archaea. The archaea are a related group of unicellular organisms, many of which thrive under extremely harsh environmental conditions. Methanosarcina barkeri, the archaean shown in figure 14-9, lives in anaerobic environments. Many species of archaea are autotrophs that obtain energy by chemosynthesis instead of photosynthesis. In the process of chemosynthesis, CO2 serves as a carbon source for the assembly of organic molecules. Energy is obtained from the oxidation of various inorganic substances, such as sulfur. Photosynthesis and aerobic respiration. Some forms of life had become photosynthetic by 3 billion years ago. Scientists infer this from a variety of geologic evidence, such as the chemical traces of photosynthetic activity. Also, most of the oldest known fossils of cells are similar to modern cyanobacteria, a group of photosynthetic unicellular prokaryotes. Limbinia, a genus of modern cyanobacteria, is shown in figure 14-10A. Limbinia cells often grow in colonies and form layered structures called stromatolites, shown in figure 14-10B. Fossils of stromatolites as old as 3.5 billion years are known. Oxygen, a byproduct of photosynthesis, was damaging to many early unicellular organisms. Oxygen could destroy some coenzymes essential to cell function. Within some organisms, however, oxygen bonded to other compounds, thereby preventing the oxygen from doing damage. This bonding was one of the first steps in aerobic respiration. Thus, an early function of aerobic respiration may have been to prevent the destruction of essential organic compounds by oxygen. Many scientists think that it took a billion years or more for oxygen gas levels to reach today's levels. The oxygen gas, O2, eventually reached the upper part of the atmosphere where it was bombarded with sunlight. Some wavelengths of sunlight can split O2 to form highly reactive single oxygen atoms, O. These O atoms react with O2 and form ozone, O3. Ozone is poisonous to both plant and animal life, but in the upper atmosphere, a layer of ozone absorbs much of the ultraviolet radiation from the sun. Ultraviolet radiation damages DNA. And without the protection of the ozone layer, life could not have come to exist on land. Page 290. The first eukaryotes. Recall that eukaryotic cells differ from prokaryotic cells in several ways. Eukaryotic cells are larger. Their DNA is organized into chromosomes in a cell nucleus, and they contain membrane-bound organelles. How did eukaryotic cells evolve? Researcher Lynn Margulis, born 1938, proposed that early prokaryotic cells may have developed a mutually beneficial relationship. A large body of evidence suggests that between about 2.0 billion and 1.5 billion years ago, a type of small aerobic prokaryote was engulfed by and began to live and reproduce inside of a larger anaerobic prokaryote. This theory is called endosymbiosis and is modeled in figure 14-11. The eukaryotes provided a beneficial environment and the prokaryotes provided a method of energy synthesis. Scientists infer that endosymbiotic aerobic prokaryotes evolved into modern mitochondria, which perform aerobic respiration in eukaryotic cells. In a later case of endosymbiosis, photosynthetic cyanobacteria may have evolved into chloroplasts, which perform photosynthesis in modern eukaryotic plant and algae cells. There is compelling evidence to support these hypotheses for the origin of these organelles. Both chloroplasts and mitochondria replicate independently from the replication cycle of the cell that contains them. Moreover, chloroplasts and mitochondria contain some of their own genetic material, which differs from that of the rest of the cell. Finally, the DNA of these organelles is found in a circular arrangement that is characteristic of prokaryotic cells.